Father, bless these words in Jesus' name. It's very possible that we will each find ourselves in a place in our life with God where we become tired. And we are living in the call of God. We are living in the perfect will of God. We are doing those things which we need to do, getting built up in the Word of God, fellowship, drawing near to the body, and so on, being faithful in the things God has given us. But we simply become tired. And it's not even necessarily that we are doing anything wrong. It is simply because we are weary in the way. Maybe there are attacks. Maybe the schedule is such that it's very difficult. Maybe it is simply a person's health. Maybe we are worn down because of all the demands that are placed on us as we walk in the perfect will of God. Perhaps there are difficulties within families or with friends and so on, and we become tired. At such a time, we are told in the Word of God in 2 Thessalonians 3:13, "But you, brethren, be not weary in well-doing." Now, that is a sentence that we can use in our minds to beat ourselves over the head. Get over it. Don't be weary in well doing. The Word of God says so. Knock it off. And you use a little baseball bat. And we hit ourselves over the head with it. But this is not how God approaches us. God never said we would not have a burden. God said we need His burden. He does add burdens to our lives. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, because my yoke is easy." And then there's that word. "And my burden is light." But yet, I may be living in the perfect will of God under God's burden, if you will. And I get tired. And it seems to make me weary. And it's not necessarily even because I'm thinking wrong. It's because I'm a human being. And at those times, I can't beat myself over the head. At those times, I have to meditate on the promises of God. The reason why I'm becoming weary under a burden is because I'm aware of the burden. And that in and of itself is not wrong necessarily. For example, if you are a teacher or a song leader or somebody who's in the church, or maybe you are somebody who's working in the world, and you have a certain burden, you are aware of what it is that you're doing. You are aware of what it is that you need to do to make it good. A pastor who does not take the time to study and prepare is a pastor who is not going to develop and then bring a good message. So there are burdens and we are aware of them. But at the time when they start to make you tired, you give yourself the promises of God. You see, these burdens have a purpose. And when I become tired under the burden, when I become weary in well-doing, that weariness has a purpose. It's not just the burden that has the purpose. The weariness has a purpose. You see, we say to ourselves, because we are concerned about how it makes us feel, I don't like the weariness, and therefore the weariness is a problem for me in the burden. But the weariness that is caused by the burden that is placed upon me in the perfect will of God is the very thing that I need. But we don't think about it this way. How do I know that I need that weariness? Well, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, it tells us so. In verse 12, the Word of God says, if we suffer, we shall also reign with Him. If we deny Him, He also will deny us. That word suffer is hupomonen in the Greek, and it's in the perfect active indicative. That means, if I continuously produce the action of this suffering, and the suffering isn't the suffering like necessarily like pain, it can be pain, but the suffering there is a little bit of a different word. It means if we remain under something, if we endure it, if we persevere in something, if we bear something up, if we bear up under the burden that God places on us, if we bear up under the call, or if you are parents, if you bear up under the burden, if you will, that it has, you know, raising children and wrestling with their volition and trying to teach them the ways of God versus the ways of the world. This is a certain burden. If you are married, caring for your spouse can be a certain type of a burden that a married person is called to. If you are a student, then the burden of the discipline in academia that is required of you, if you are in the perfect will of God as that student, persevere. Bear that burden and persevere. Endure it, is what the apostle is saying. Endure the burden. Why? Because if you endure the burden, you shall also reign with Him. You see, that very thing that we so often despise is the very opportunity God has given us for eternal reward and eternal promotion. All too often, believers are so oriented to the earth as though the earth is the end all. As the things that happen in this life are the end all. This is not the end all. This is the very beginning. This is the threshold. The time that we have on earth is the threshold. And the things that God asks us to endure are the provision for eternity. It says in Revelation 2:6, and he that overcomes and keeps my works unto the end, to him I give the power over the nations, and he will rule them. This is where we reign with Christ, is in the very fact that we are able to endure unto the end. Yes, it is not pleasant sometimes, but it's only if I am oriented to my emotions as being the standard for what I consider good. It may not always be pleasant, but the question is it of God? It may not be pleasant if you are a parent to endure children's rebellious natures or old sin nature, or sometimes they're not rebellious. But whatever it is that they may have that they are challenged with, it may not always be pleasant to endure circumstances in your workplace or in your school. But that very fact of enduring is the thing that builds you to reigning. Not every believer will reign with Christ. The overcoming believer will reign with Christ. In Revelation chapter 2 and 3. It is the believer who endures that burden that will be given the morning star. See, when you get tired, realize something. This is your opportunity. You have been selected for it, to receive the morning star. The morning star crowd of Revelation 2 and 3 is the crowd that reigns, is the crowd that eats at the tree of life. The morning star crowd is the crowd that receives special privilege with God, even among the believers in heaven. There is a group of believers that has special privilege with God. That burden that has come my way, the trial of my faith that God says is more precious than gold, but in my emotions may wreak havoc. The thing that I often would like to run away from is the very provision God has given me for eternal reward. Don't look to your life now as being the end of the matter. It's not. Your life right now is just the very beginning of eternity. One of the things about eternity is that it never ends. The rewards you will receive because what you endure now, those rewards will never end. Reigning with Christ will never end. On the other hand, the person who receives eternal loss, although they in heaven will be joyous and happy to the maximum of their capacity, that loss also will never end. Just the awareness of the loss will end. But in heaven, there will be no way to make up for the opportunities that I have been given on earth if I have let them pass me by. Don't despise the opportunities God gives you just because they seem like a burden. They are your very provision. You see, if God could not trust you with that burden, it would not have come your way. If God can trust you with a great burden, then a great burden will be placed upon you, and your reward in heaven will be great. Because God is far more interested in eternity than He is in time. Because time is a drop in the bucket. Time I do not have guaranteed. Eternity I do have guaranteed one way or the other. But no matter how I slice it, I am heading for eternity. And that is guaranteed. And if I am born again, then I am going to be forever with in eternity with God. And those opportunities that I have taken now, the burdens that I have borne and that which I have endured, if I don't get weary in the way, then I receive a great reward. I think sometimes we believers are too oriented to time and to that which is temporal. But you know, those people who have died and then been resuscitated by the doctors, those who were saved and saw heaven, they say heaven was far more real and far more tangible than anything on earth. Reality is not here in time. Reality is in the eternal. This is simply a preparation to enter into our lives. Do you realize that? You have not even entered into the fullness of your life here on earth. Because heaven never ends. On the other hand, hell never ends. Hell never ends. It's thinking about Abraham and Lazarus and the rich man. And the rich man found himself in hell. He's still there today. That was a true story. That was not a parable. Parables do not use proper names. That was a true story. There is a man who is simply known to God as rich man. And he is in hell. Right now. He's been there at least 2,000 years. And it will never end. God, make us soul winners. Because it will never end. You see, what is the burden that we possess? There's an eternal value in it. Can you imagine being a king forever? But that is the opportunity God gives us that we often despise. To be a king, and it will never end. Can you imagine having those things which satisfy the heart, not in lust, but in a Holy Spirit satisfaction, and it never ends? This is the opportunity that God gives to us, but we call them burdens. And this is why the apostle said, do not be weary in well-doing. Why? Because the overcomer receives the morning star. The overcomer reigns over the nations. The overcomer receives the white raiment. This is the opportunity God gives us. Sight is going to be your enemy in this. So when the burdens come, I respond to the promises of God in faith. Because the promises of God are my provision for the burden. So I encourage myself with the promises of God, knowing that every promise of God is yea and amen. And that every promise of God is good and from above. And every promise of God will be as God has said, because He will cause it to come to pass as He has said it. I encourage myself with the knowledge of God's character and His goodness toward me. With the knowledge that even if I am not able to be faithful, He will not deny Himself and He will not be unfaithful to me. I can encourage myself that even if I have momentary failure under the burden, God immediately forgets the failure. And He upholds me with His everlasting arms. The only way to lose as a believer is quit. You won't lose your salvation, but you'll lose your rewards. You see, any man who denies me, he said, I will deny before the Father. So let's not be weary in the way. Blessed are you, the word of God says in Matthew 5:11. When men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil falsely against you for my name's sake. Why are you blessed for that? Because great is your reward. Because great is your reward. I don't look at the things that are happening now. I look at the results. And in the results, I look at reality. But if I simply look at the things that are happening now, I'm doing nothing more than walking by sight. But when something comes your way, look at its results. When you have trouble on your work, in your workplace or at school, when a class student, I have several students here, when your classes are too much for you, don't just quit. If God called you there, endure it. And if you can't do it the first time, do it the second. And if you can't do it the second, do it the third. Why? Because God put you there. The fact that it may be a secular college means nothing if it's the will of God. There, if in the will of God, there is no difference between the sacred and the secular. If you are at work and something's going wrong, endure it. Don't just quit, endure it. Because if you are walking in the light and you are in the will of God, then that burden is your provision. When you are asking God for something and you have to wait for the answer, don't start doubting His willingness to answer you. endure the wait. Because all that you're doing is living in God's timing. And apart from God's timing, you cannot be in the will of God. Never be weary in the way. Never be weary in the way. In 2 Chronicles 9:18, there's a description of the throne of Israel. The Word of God says, "And there were 6 steps to the throne with a footstool of gold which were fastened to the throne." The steps of a man when he responds in faith fasten him to a throne. That's what it's saying there. When the steps of a man respond in faith, he is fastened to a throne. I don't know about anybody else, but I would like to reign. All things being equal, I'll take reigning. It's like that comic, I don't remember who said it, but he said, "I've been rich and I've been poor, and rich is better." Well, you know what? In heaven, it is possible to be rich or it is possible to be poor. But the Word of God tells us rich is better. And it really doesn't much matter what it is here on earth. Because on earth it's a drop in the bucket. You look at an old person, a few days ago they were young. You look at a young person, in a few days they'll be old. And by the way, nobody promised them those few days. Don't get weary in the way. Because that weariness is your very opportunity to reign with the Savior. And that does not go away. Amen?